Why I hate nigger. First, it is the word itself. It means uncouth, ignorant, class, second class. So no matter how much we try to transform it, no matter how much we try to adopt it, at its root is this understanding, notion, meaning of ignorant, uneducated, uncivilized. And by extension, then, its adaptation is to accept, at least some level, this notion of ignorance, uneducated, second class, low class. Secondly, and connected to its root meaning, nigger is a reflection of a racist attitude of black inferiority, African inferiority, and historically a submission, or I should say, psychologically a submission to the notion of white superiority and African inferiority and black inferiority. Even when you try to say, in a modern context, nigger has this, has lost its racist undertones, I would argue very to the contrary, that nigger is used in a black context, or what's considered to be a black context. It is used referring to black people and the things that black people do. And in this black context, even when white folks are then called nigger or use nigger as this urban lingo, they do so suggesting or referring to this African or African-American or black, however, which way you want to say it, social context, so that to become a nigger is to be accepted by black people as one of them, or if you're white, or to refer to or use in a situation that black people would do, or in a black context in some way, shape, or form. So even in this modern context, in this modern time, nigger is still associated with being black, and therefore connected to the historical and social meanings of what it means to be black in the American society. So we can't divorce nigger from its social, cultural, historical, and ultimately psychological meaning. Nigger was one of those tools used in the American context to season Africans into becoming slaves, into becoming second-class citizens. Kenneth Stamp, in his book, Peculiar Institution, talks about seasoning as being a process by which oppression, enslavement, becomes the only practical choice. This was done by physical tools, beatings, lynchings, whippings. This was done through various societal tools, black codes, Jim Crow laws, slave codes. But it was also done psychologically so that the blacks, the Africans, would accept this inferior role and live out to this inferior role with the least amount of resistance possible. And to do that was to, one, transform or change their name, to remove, discredit all things African. And nigger was one of these replacement words to constantly remind the African self of its inferiority, transform the African into the Negro, to transform what is often the natural and healthy perspective of self into a perspective of other people's values about oneself, so that you take self-concern and substitute it with other concern. You take self-perspective and you substitute it with other perspective. You take your natural inclination to define the world as substituted with the definitions of others, and in this particular case, in the American context, to substitute your African or your cultural understanding of self with the white racist attitudes, so that you then, as someone who is non-white, will support and defend attitudes that are inconsistent with your own survival, that you, as a black person, would support and confirm white superiority. And nigger is one of those words, one of those cultural, or should say historical, social contexts or markers that help to construct that the seasoning process, that seasoning miseducation, to quote Carter G. Woodson. And so when I look at the, particularly, again, the wisdom of the elders and the scholars that came before me, Carter G. Woodson being most prominent, and in Miseducation of Niggers, so when you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. You don't have to convince him of his inferior status. He will take it on for himself. You don't have to send him to the back door. He will go to the back door without being told. And if there is no back door, he will cut one for his own special purpose. This is written in 1933, and it is as relevant to the issue of the use of the word nigger in American, current American context as it ever was. Because Carter G. Woodson points out that even in a time in which there's no blatant racism, there's no effort or the laws, government-sanctioned racism no longer exists. There's not the obvious racial apartheid system in the United States any longer. Even in a modern context where there are laws for equality, laws for equal access, equal protection, and so on and so forth, even in that context, because of the education that African Americans receive about themselves, and I say education, I'm referring to not just in the formal sense, but also what is confirmed through media, through society, and in what is projected, what is assumed, all those symbolic representations, through that education, that we learn, we being African Americans, learn, actually we being Americans, learn that black life is that of a nigger. And when we do not question, do not challenge, do not authenticate our realities, then other people's perceptions through this racist lens becomes the reality for us. And so we then defend nigger. And again, according to Carter G. Woodson, we'll even, when there's not anyone calling us a nigger, find a way to call ourselves and be a nigger in order to meet that special need that we have because of our education. That's the back door that we cut for ourselves every time that we use nigger. Every time that you hear nigger, you're finding somebody who is going to that back door, finding somebody who is relegating themselves to second-class citizenry, somebody who's relegating themselves to a life of ignorance, and even when we try to dress it up, take ownership of it, which, quite frankly, is a natural phenomenon. We know it to be true because of, well, we know it to be a part of the human psyche, what Freud talks about when you have oppressed people or have an oppressed person or somebody subjugated to violence, that person, in order to have the semblance of power, in order to feel powerful, will use the tools of the oppressor or use the tools of his abuser or her abuser, as the case may be, as his own. So you have a people whose seasoning process has destroyed or tried to destroy, distorted their psyche, and in order then to feel power or they have the semblance of taking control, they'll use the tool of the oppressor as if it's their own. So they use this nigger, they use this degrading and dehumanizing language as if it is their own in order to have the semblance of power. That's the danger. That's the danger of nigger. That's why I reject when Michael Eric Dyson last year in the State of the Black Union talking about we have to accept our niggerdom. No, we do not. That's ignorance. And ultimately very dangerous. We must reject the tools of our oppressor. We must begin to define ourselves for ourselves based on our understanding of our history. It's the difference between saying that black people or African Americans came from slaves, or that African American people went through slavery. Because if you came from slaves, that means at your core, at your very being, is a slave. So So no matter what you do, no matter how far you progress, no matter what you do to transform yourself, at your very core is a slave. However, if your understanding tells you that African Americans went through slavery, that means at your essence, something existed before you were a slave. Something that could not have been destroyed. Something that could not have been destroyed, lived, survived that slave experience. Maybe tempered, maybe made stronger, maybe even somewhat transformed by the experience. But it could not have been, it could not be destroyed by the experience. So there is a essence of who you are that was strong enough to live through this experience, to be tempered by this experience, which is a different perspective, and what I would argue a more authentic perspective. There was something human about our existence, our people, before slavery, that could not be destroyed by such a dehumanizing institution. And it is that essence that, as African Americans, we have to connect to that will give us the strength to project ourselves into the future. And I would suggest, once again, that nigger wasn't it. This is the struggle that continues. As Du Bois talks about, the color line would be the issue of the 20th century. I would insert that it is the authentic self that is the issue of the 21st century for African Americans, and I would dare say, in this global economy, people in general. How do you maintain your authentic self or reconnect to your authentic self? How do you, in a global economy, in a global world, in a world with diversity and ever-changing and ever-differing perspectives, how do you keep an essence of yourself that is real, that is authentic, that is connected to a history, a heritage, and a culture, and is not based on other people's perspectives of what people like you are capable of? That's the question. That's the challenge of the 21st century. And any conscious person must reject the use of nigger because it is antithetical. It is in direct opposite of the notion of authentic self. That's why I hate nigger. That's why I have a campaign to rid the world of nigger. That's the struggle I commit to. That's the struggle that I hope people who would listen to this will commit to. Hotep, peace, Altua, continua. The struggle continues.